Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For the past few weeks, we've been tracking through amazing stories that Jesus Christ has been doing. Think with me for a moment. Just a number of weeks ago, we hear about a Jesus who walks on water. And this Jesus, when he walks on his water, the disciples see him and they think they have seen a ghost. And Jesus says, "It's not a ghost, it's me." And he looks at them and says, "Worry not." Then a few weeks after that, we hear about Jesus again who is in a boat and the winds and the waves are rocking. Everyone thinks they're going to perish, but Jesus stands up and he chastises that wind and the waves. And he looks at his disciples and says, "Why are you so scared?" And he looks at them and says, "Fear not." And then last week we hear about a Jesus who's sitting on a mountainside. And he's concerned about his people's holiness, the purity of the mind and the purity of the body. And Jesus looks at them and says, "Sin not." And today, we get an interesting reading, a troubling reading, an engaging reading, because today Jesus looks out over 5,000 people and he essentially tells them, "Doubt not. Thou shalt not doubt. Doubt not." Well, Jesus, it's a little bit easier said than done, isn't it? It's not like anybody actually, in the course of the day, sits down and plans out their day around doubting, right? It's not like this. It's not like my Tuesday. It's not like this. I wake up on Tuesday mornings and I go into Bible study with the guys in the morning, 6:30 to 7:30. Then I have meetings. I have some Bible study prep, sermon prep, more meetings, hospital visits, hospice visits, homebound visits, and then in the afternoon, then I just sit down, right? I sit down and I just doubt about everything in my life for like a half an hour, right? Is that how that works? No! That's crazy! People don't do that. You know as well as I do. You don't go looking for doubts. Doubts come looking for you. It's just something that bumps into you throughout the day. Now, we're going to land with a phrase today that I hope you use today and honestly throughout the rest of the week that helps you in your faith walk. We're going to land by continually asking this question: is it worth it? And is it true? Is it worth it? 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 Is it true? Because I am convinced that doubts, they just pop up a little more organically, don't they? So here at Concordia, I see doubts popping up when we have real and authentic conversations with one another. Now look, it's a privilege, everything I get to do at Concordia. I think it's a privilege to stand up here and preach God's words of law and gospel. It's a privilege that I get to surround people with holy baptism and holy communion, but I think, Pastor, honestly, if I'm being honest with you, my favorite thing to do is teaching. I think you might say the same. It's just a different kind of animal. It's a live environment where we can go back and forth, and there we can get to the heart of the issues, but I have found over the course of my experience, there are three things which God's people will never, ever, ever ask out loud in a Bible study. Nobody in a Bible study is ever going to ask about money. Nobody in a Bible study is ever going to ask about sex. And nobody in a Bible study is ever going to ask about doubt. So what typically happens is this: they linger for you at the end of the study, or they come and hunt you down in your office, right? So you're sitting there in your office and they come in and you say, come in. And you sit down and you have the pleasantries with them. They say, "Pastor, Vicar, Jacob, Seminarian, Reverend, whatever." And then things get a little more serious, don't they? They look up at you with tears in their eyes and they say, "Jacob, do you ever doubt? Do you ever ask yourself if all of this is worth it? Is all of this even true? I mean, Jacob, if Concordia Lutheran Church would disappear tomorrow, would it even make a difference?" And they look up at you with tears in their eyes and they say, "Jacob, do you ever doubt?" And I look back at them with tears in my eyes and I say, "No. only sinners doubt. No, I don't say that. No, I don't say that. I say, of course I doubt. Everybody doubts from time to time. It just bubbles up. Christians doubt when we lose what the epicenter of our faith is, and that is Jesus Christ alone and Him crucified for you. His life, death, resurrection. When we lose focus of that, that's when Christians doubt. Let me let you in on a little secret. 100% of Jesus' early followers doubted. Think about it with me. John the Baptist, I know the scriptures don't say this, but when he's sitting in prison and he's about to be beheaded, I'm sure he starts to ponder and think to himself, is this worth it? Is this true? And on the night when Jesus is betrayed, every single one of his apostles fled from him, and they all said, it ain't worth it, and it ain't true. And forever, one of Jesus' followers will be branded with this stigma. And his name is Doubting Thomas. You make me so happy. Doubts are just there. From the first Christians to us today, and if you're Christians, they go in two buckets. Is it worth it? Is it true? And you might ask yourself those same questions. Is it worth it? Jesus puts high demands on the Christian life. He's concerned about people's purity, the holiness that he has called them to. He's concerned about people being generous, giving to everyone who is in need, and giving generously to everyone who asks of you. Or you may think, is it honestly even true? Is Jesus really who he says he is? Did my baptism do anything for me? When I come up here, am I just eating a little snack? When Pastor waved his hands at me this morning and forgave me my sins, did it really even change anything? And Christians, from the first disciples to us today, ask those questions. Is it worth it? Is it true? Is it worth it? Is it true? Is it worth it? Is it true? You know, I think the Christian walk is kind of like flying in an airplane, if you will. I have a buddy who lives down in Florida, and we were talking once, and he found out I had flown in airplanes, but I never flew an airplane, and he wanted to change that for me. So can you believe it? Your preacher went up 5,000 feet in the air, and I got to fly an airplane. Pretty cool. We're up there, and what that really means is I got to jiggle the joysticks up in the air, and it was an incredible experience. But as we're sitting there talking, did I really understand flight and pitch and rotation? Could I intelligently articulate to you how the proper jet fuel is mixed? And do you want me in your cockpit for takeoff and landing? No, you do not. And yet that doesn't matter. This is exactly like the Christian walk. Child of God, you are not going to understand everything that Jesus teaches. It's going to be tough at times. But your ability to understand and articulate it is not dependent on your salvation. Jesus calls us to a simple faith, a simple trust in Him. And this long preamble is for this reason. So many people in our story for today, they end up saying, it ain't worth it, and it ain't true, and they walk away. But Simon Peter, he nails it for today. He gets it so right, and it's such a shining example of what can and should happen in that Christian life. I invite you at this time to maybe open up your worship folders and track along with me. We're here on page 5 in John's Gospel. Because here in John's Gospel, let me set the scene for you. Jesus is on a mountainside, and he has just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now Jesus has a troubling teaching. And at the end of this, he essentially says, doubt not, because Jesus says this 5 different times. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. For your forefathers ate the manna that came in the wilderness and they all perished. But unless you eat my flesh, you will never live. It's a tough teaching. And when Jesus talked about this, the scriptures reported that many of those disciples walked away, those 5,000 people on the mountainside. Jesus told them this, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in me. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people walked away from Jesus. Many of them asked themselves that question. Is it worth it? Is it true? And many of them said, nope. Who is this guy? What is he talking about? And they walked away from him. A little later on in our reading for today, Jesus, after seeing these crowds leaving him, he turns to his chosen 12. And he turns to his chosen 12 and says, do you want to leave as well? And God bless Simon Peter. He says one of the most beautifully crafted phrases ever composed. I actually invite you to read that with me here on page 5, if you will, at the very last sentence of the gospel reading. We read that together. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. Simon Peter nails it. Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, we know with you there is life and salvation, but apart from you there ain't nothing. Jesus, you might teach tough things, and the crowd said, who can believe such a tough saying? But with Jesus, there is everything, even in difficult sayings. Even when he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, with Jesus, there is life. And if we walk away from him, we better know where we're going, because with Jesus, there is everything, and apart from him, and when those crowds left, there is nothing. You know, in the Christian life, that when you grow in your faith and as you get older and more matured in years, oftentimes in your faith walk, things are going to get a little more difficult and not easier. Maybe you're asking yourself, is it worth it? Is it true? Maybe you have asked yourself that, or maybe you're asking yourself that now. Maybe you're one of the people who just are thinking, man, Jesus, I'm waiting. Waiting. Why is everyone else married but me? Jesus, you took my spouse from me way too young. Jesus, I just want some significant person in my life. Are you even up there? Maybe we start doubting the things that we should be doing when we have a friend and it's that awkward conversation that needs to be had. Maybe it's about their faith walk. Maybe it's about the purity of their minds. Maybe it's about your own bodies. Maybe as you're growing in age, you have bodies that are failing, cancer and trick knees. And you start wondering if Jesus is really out there. Or maybe it's the coup de grace of them all, questioning the very promises of God himself, what he does for us today. And in the midst of this, Christians, from the very first Christians to us today, always ask themselves that question, is it worth it? Is it true? Is it worth it? Is it true? Is it worth it? Is it true? And today, Jesus Christ gives us an affirming yes, it is. Because the guy who can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, I'm with that guy. I'm interested in what that guy has to say. And when we come up today and we get Holy Communion, we get to see Jesus there and the certainty that he gives us. We get to see his forgiveness. We get to feel his forgiveness. We get to smell his forgiveness, taste his forgiveness, touch his forgiveness, get forgiveness in our guts. And it's as close and as real as it's ever going to get. This is what our God gives to us today and every day forward. So, child of God, as you might have those doubts that pop up and you might say, is it worth it? Is it true? The answer is you bet your life on it, because Jesus, he loved us so much, he gave up his for ours. And the life that we now live in this flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself up for us. This is the life that we have now and the life that we look forward to one day when our Savior returns. May our Jesus always keep us mindful of this. We pray in his mercy and his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.